Hello, I hope you're doing well. My name is Richard Height, and today I'd like to go into a very important topic, an area where most people really start to struggle with the unfoldment process. This is an area where almost everybody gets stuck, and very few actually progress past. And so I've titled this Potential or Pitfalls, Potential Pitfalls in the Unfoldment Process. And there are so many, so that it would take me, I mean, I could talk on this endlessly for days, probably. And so I'd rather, instead of bringing up every single topic, I'm going to discuss just a few important ones and really try to get down to the principle of the issue so that you can see it and how that principle may apply to many other forms of pitfalls. So first and foremost, the most common pitfall is overcomplication of the process, which means adding something to the process. The unfoldment process really is a radical simplification of the life experience, of accepting what is. It's not about belief systems. A belief system is something that is really covering over a sense of insecurity, a sense of disconnectedness, and this belief system gives this false sense of security. And that false sense of security then blocks us from any further unfoldment because now we have used that belief system as a crutch to cover over an actual insecurity. It's just masking over an actual insecurity with something that appears to be secure. Belief systems, no belief system is secure because they all come from the mind. They are all a model of reality. They are not reality. The actual reality that is cannot be described effectively in words. Once we've experienced truth, reality as it is, all words will fail to satisfy. In fact, any attempt to describe it will feel viscerally wrong once we've had this, what I call, inexperience of isness or beingness. And so therefore, belief systems become a huge barrier. Another barrier is the feeling of special and the feeling of worship. So worship, of course, goes with religious ideas typically. But if we think about the concept of worship, we are bowing down to something above. And that, on a primary level, indicates a sense of separation. We are separate from God. We are separate from whatever it is that we feel is high or special or better or worse. Again, these are comparisons. They come from the mind. So we've judged ourselves as being low and God as being high. We've judged yourself as being low, and maybe isness as being high, or truth as being high. Each individual may have a different idea of what is the ultimate. The truth is the ultimate is the ultimate, and that includes all things. It includes the physical body, includes the world, it includes the mind as well. It includes all things undiscriminatory. In an undiscriminatory fashion, all things are included in what is. So as soon as the feeling of worship occurs, or the feeling of special is occurring, there's an automatic, underneath that feeling, an automatic revelation or revealing of a sense of separation, a sense of otherness, a sense of comparison. If we look at that and really feel into the body during that sense of specialness that's going on, it's actually a huge identification. And so there's a real disharmony that it brings about. There may be a high that we get from the worship or feeling of special, but that high is very similar to a high you would get from a drug or anything else. It's followed by a low. And excitement is always followed by a down. What goes up always has to go down. This is the nature of reality. And that nature of reality is constantly trying to tell us, or at least indicating to us, there's an imbalance. We just tend not to notice that what goes up has to come down, and we try to break that law. There is no breaking that law. And so, therefore, we're going to go beyond comparisons. We're going to go beyond the sense of separation. We're going to go beyond special. We're going to go beyond worship. Now, this also applies, of course, to drugs, which would be, you know, for example, peyote or LSD or all these things. These are tools that may give us a certain amount of insight. But these tools will never bring about, they don't create isness, nor do they help us find real isness in that they don't do the work for us. They may give us some clues, but in the end, we have to rest into, relax into beingness or isness, into what is. And the danger of these euthanogens is they often raise us in our feeling to such a high level that we then, of course, begin to compare our daily lives to that high, which is not going to compare. And of course, we've had that high, there's going to be a subsequent down that occurs as a natural result of that comparison process, and maybe some of the chemicals that were burned up in the process of that high in the brain. So I'm not going to say that these types of plants or insightful experiences are wrong. It's not a judgment against them. It becomes dangerous when we begin to rely on them for that great feeling, for that spiritual feeling. And that reliance is an indication, again, of a feeling of separation from what is. That there are some things which are spiritual and some things which are not. And so therefore, once that reliance occurs, the ability to go through this process purely with the tools that the human body is born with, that ability is covered over, or that sense of that ability as being authentic is lost. And so therefore we more easily begin to rely upon externals, upon tools which actually become to us special, more than tools. And this would include religious rituals. This would include any types of spiritual methodologies. We can make use of them, and we can get something wonderful out of them, so long as they do not become a crutch, and so long as they are not viewed as special, and so long as they're only used on a very temporary basis until we've gotten the insights we need and the work is done to incorporate that insight into our lives to further the unfoldment process. Another thing I'd like to talk about is learning. You'll see that I do not describe what isness or beingness is, what truth is, because it's beyond any words to describe. What I describe are the barriers. What I describe are the disconnects, the ideas and the concepts and mirages that we've created that cover over senses of otherness and insecurities that have effectively created this sense of separation in our physical moment life. And that's really all that I can describe. Of course, I can describe what's happening in the energy field. I can also describe the tools and how to make use of them to help bring us towards greater realization of what is right now in this moment. But truth can never be described, and if it is described, it's not truth. That is a model of truth. It is not the reality. Words can never be the reality. Reality is reality. Now, let's say that someone argued, well, words can create manifestation. There is that theory out there. Jesus talked about that. At least it's recorded they talked about that in the Bible. A number of other religious figures and spiritual figures have talked about that. That's a whole nother topic. Just bear in mind that Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing that I have not seen the Father do before me. A simple thought on that concept that may help to clarify that is, he did not will the power to occur. It simply occurred. It was something that flowed through him, not something he as an egoic personality created or willed. The Father did it first. He's following the Father. That sort of sense. That's a huge topic in itself that maybe we'll get into in the blog, maybe we'll get into in other videos. But for this series, what's important to remember is that we don't want to spend energy, bind our energy in worship, in special. We don't want to worship the tools. The meditation I teach is very, very powerful. It's very, very cool. But it's also a very innate thing. It's just using what the body already has available to it. It's using intent. And the sense is very, very simple. When we go further into that process, we learn to simplify it even further than that. I go into that in the book quite a bit. I go into that in my classes. I won't be able to go into that right now. But if we were to start to feel that that meditation should be worshipped, that it's special, and that's the only truth, again, we've just completely sidetracked the unfoldment process until we've realized that falsehood. So really keep it simple. Keep it pure, with integrity, not feeding the demon of special, the identification of special and worship and separation. I am below, you are above, all that stuff. We can apply this to all of life so that things become very, very functional in oneness versus this constant brainwashing of separation as a result of the feeling of special. So have a wonderful day and many blessings to you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.